This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Got a line or so open for you guys at 206-421-3776. The hour is brought to you by Tackle. Brock, we're talking Felix. It was awful on Saturday, man. It had that feeling of the nail in the coffin of, hey, we've been debating and talking, and can he stay in the rotation, and should he stay in the rotation? What do you do? And all of a sudden, you go out there with everybody looking in Anaheim and give up seven runs without making it out of the third.
Yeah,
that's a no can do, man. That had the feeling of, if your name wasn't Felix Hernandez and you weren't owed $20 million next year, you're getting DFA'd after an outing like that, and based on the season he's had.
Yeah,
if he's Casey Lawrence and he's been in the rotation all year long, I understand that. I'm just looking at the feeling. If you're Casey Lawrence and you've been in the rotation doing that all year long, and then you come out with that performance on Saturday night, you get DFA'd on Sunday. He's Felix Hernandez. That's not going to happen, nor should it. But it's hard to imagine how he stays in the rotation.
Well, I'll tell you what it was as well, was the first time this year that Felix owned it. Okay? He is a proud, headstrong, athletically arrogant guy. And he should be. His track record and his resume is near Hall of Fame caliber. Right? I don't know if he's going to have enough run here at the end to get himself there. But after that performance, Felix, no excuses, no explanation. Cut three, he owned it.
I don't have a lot of stuff to say. So. You say it's the worst performance. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, if you would have made the playoff, I have to do something better than this. So that's all I got to say.
That's hard to hear. You know? That's. I'm sure that was hard on his teammates to hear. You know, it's hard to watch guys that can't do it anymore, right? It's one thing when it was Franco Harris or Edgerrin James or some of these guys that you bring in on their last legs to see if they got anything. It's another when it's one of your own.
Because you don't have anything emotionally invested in Jerry Rice or Franco Harris.
And Cortez is the guy that I point to that did it for a decade at an unbelievably high level, played on bad teams, bad organization, bad owners, didn't ever really get the payoff. But he's a D tackle that's doing his job right in the middle. Like Jaron Reed said many times, you know, you don't even notice them on the field, even the really, really elite ones like Tez was. This is your ace. This is your pitcher. This is your Cy Young winner. This is your perfect game thrower. This is the King's Court for a decade in that corner, right? That no matter how bad the team was, you came and watched Felix every fifth day, and he just can't do it anymore. And Scott Servais, after this one, equally a bit lost in cut number one, that Felix just did not have any stuff.
I really didn't have much tonight. Kind of a non-competitive outing, and the fastball command wasn't real good, and the off-speed stuff really didn't have much bite or depth to any of it. So, you know, when you walk out and you don't really have much on the ball, you know, you're not going to get very good results. So, you know, you get the home run to Trout in the first, you get two out, nobody on the second, walk, some hits. It got away from us real quick in this one.
That's a level of honesty we haven't always heard with Felix Hernandez. That's a level of criticism and biting commentary that we have not often heard from managers in Felix, and I think it makes sense. He's just being honest. He's not telling you anything you don't know already.
Both of them are being honest.
But there's no protection for Felix Hernandez, not from Scott. He very simply saying, look, this is time. And in cut two, he was asked specifically about Felix's future in that rotation.
You know, we gotta wait and see. I mean, you know, we've put ourselves in a position that we're you know, coming down the stretch here. We got a chance to fight for a playoff spot, and every time out there, you need to be competitive. You need to give your chance to win, and you know, we just haven't had that out of Felix here the last couple times out.
And they need it. They need to have it out of all of their guys virtually every single time out. 206-421-3776. What do you do? How do you feel about it? Let's grab Mike, who's in Edmonds. Mike, what do you make of all this?
Oh, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mike, it's great to hear your voice, man. I love it every time you call in. From Elm Street there in Edmonds. Go ahead.
Well, at the end of my Felix comment, Brock, I have a question for you if you guys have time.
Okay, we'll
understand.
See about that. All right, let's go.
Okay, so I was going to call in Friday, but I was busy driving down to Seahawks training camp and make a comment that Felix has become Jeff Becerra, who's famous for his comment that, well, I only threw one bad pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But the Felix that showed up Saturday was worse than Jeff Becerra. And as you guys said, he finally owned it. But haven't we seen this coming for a year and a half? Hasn't there been kind of a codependent relationship between the Mariners and Felix where they've kind of, you could, on the one hand, you could say they were patient, but on the other hand, you could say that they've coddled him to where if they were tougher, would he have seen the light of day sooner rather than get to this point?
You know, Mike, can I comment on that? Because I think it's a really good question. And from the outside, I think it probably looks that way. Some of the stuff that I've heard on the inside, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think they've publicly ever really embarrassed him because it's baseball and you do your best, especially with a big star like Felix Hernandez, to make sure that you never embarrass them publicly. But I think there have been a lot of things behind the scenes where they've been very, very tough on Felix.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad for that.
Now, I'm not saying it's worked, but I mean, you know, there have been some moments where they've made even trades to get some people away from him. They have done some things to try to keep Felix in the fold, and unfortunately, while they may have worked off the field in terms of him as a part of the team, you know, chemistry, I don't know that they've worked on the field.
Well, unless and until they get some great pitcher by trade, and that's going to be a hard pull. Erasmo is going to be the savior, and that's just the way it looks right now. The sooner he comes up, the better, I think.
Yeah, and I think that is going to be, at least right now, with a day and 4 hours ago. Mike, thank you for the phone call. That is the direction that they're going to have to lean into. That Mike Erasmo was a guy that was penciled to be one of the starters this year. Right, he was going to be one of your five guys, and then the spring training, ultimately the lat issue, the stop, the start, you know, still coming back from that, and still on his rehab starts, trending towards that opportunity. And
well, you don't need him to be the savior. I appreciate what Mike's saying. You don't need him to be a savior. You just need him to be a fifth starter. I mean, honestly, you're not asking. You just need him to be an upgrade over Felix to give your team a shot every 5 days, which right now Felix simply isn't.
And I would say this, lastly, Mike, to you, is that enabling or that entitlement, when a guy's got $25 million on the hook in multiple years, he's got a marketing section in the stadium, mm-hmm. it becomes different conversations than somebody that's got a year or somebody that's on a rookie deal or you're in arbitration or anything else. It's a commitment, a two-sided partnership, you know, that you're right. There's been some codependency because of the millions and tens of millions guaranteed to him.
206-421-3776. Grab Chase, who's in Stanwood on line four. Chase, what do you make of it all?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
So, I don't know. I grew up watching Felix Hernandez when I was a kid when he first came out and pitched for the Mariners. And then throughout the years, you know, to be personally honest, I think he's past his prime. You know, he's getting to the end of it, you know. And after Saturday, I'm just kind of just wondering how much longer that we can keep him.
How much longer do you think? What would you do?
What would I do? How much money he's getting next year, if I could, I'd just cut it and bring in some more pitchers that are young blood, maybe a little bit less money, young blood, and try to get some, enthusiastic into our starting rotation and try to see if we can make it to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it's tough, Mike, because I still go back, and even a month ago or 2 weeks ago with Shannon, right? We asked Shannon about Felix's stuff. I mean, is this a stuff conversation? John Smoltz.
It was on Saturday.
John Smoltz numerous times this year has said this is not a stuff situation. He could still spin a baseball differently and better than a lot of people can.
Yeah, there's a stuff element to it, though. I mean, you and I have talked about it. First of all, he's lost 7 or 8 miles an hour off the fastball. It used to be mid-90s. It's often 87, 88. That is a major difference, and it gives you very little margin for error. The changeup is no longer the same pitch it once was. It's inconsistent. There are times where he can throw it, and there are other times where it's just a minus pitch. The one thing that has played is the curveball. Now, he didn't have it on Saturday. You heard Service mention that it didn't have any bite or depth to it. But the curveball has been the one thing that has allowed him to win those, 7 or 8 games so far this year, is when he can get the curveball going, throw it for strike one, there's still some validity to what Felix does on the mound. But in terms of stuff, it doesn't play. And the stuff is what takes away the margin for error. The lack of stuff increases the need for command, which Felix has never truly had. And all of a sudden, Brock, you're looking at a guy who just doesn't have enough bullets in the gun when he goes out there to play. Yeah, I don't. I think it's all of those things put together.
Yeah, and you really cannot find a number here as you look at the stat sheet. You can't find the traditional numbers of ERAs and WHIPs, and then when you get to FIPs and ERA pluses, and
there's nothing.
There's nothing.
The only thing.
But it's been a three year. No, it's a 3-year trend line of nothing, unfortunately.
The only thing you can point to is that his curveball plays. Most nights out there, his curveball plays. Is that enough to make him a bullpen piece? Maybe. I mean, maybe if he's out there throwing one inning, can he get the fastball up to 92 consistently, 93? If he could do that, could he be a valuable reliever? Sure. Is it going to go that way? Will his pride handle it? Those are all really, really tough questions. I don't think anybody really knows the answer to.
So is it unanimous on these phone lines? Is it going to be 6-for-6, 8-for-8, 10-for-10?
I mean, I don't think you're going to see anybody say. Maybe you will. Jeff in Bothell. Jeff, what do you make of it? What would you do?
I don't know. I would give the guy another chance. But what I would do is, the thing that's frustrated me for years is this guy gets no run support. You there?
Yeah, oh yeah, we got you, Jeff.
We're there.
Yeah, and I get so frustrated every night Felix goes on. I mean, we're lucky to score 2 runs. I mean, we get beat 4-0.
But that's not true now.
And the very next night, every single time, go back and check.
Right.
We're 6, 7, 8 runs.
There's been a bunch of those.
All right, Jeff, that is definitely true in Felix Hernandez's history. And, that's part
and that definitely happened this last time.
It sure did.
I know. I don't know what it is with that phenomenon, but I'm getting
it's really too bad the Mariners didn't score 12 on Saturday night. If only they'd scored 12, they could have gotten Felix
off this year, Jeff. Well, yeah. This year, though, they did get him off the hook on multiple occasions.
Jeff.
All right.
Jeff.
Yeah.
His ERA is over 5.5.
His what?
His ERA is over 5.5.
So how much does confidence have to go into that?
Well, I just don't understand why the Mariners can't score 6 or 7 every time Felix takes the mound.
Yeah.
Confidence is a good question, Jeff. I don't know. I mean, Felix has never lacked for it before, Brock. How much is confidence? How much is bravado? I don't know.
Well,
Lydia
had a great point with us this morning. And when even Lydia's on the other side, right, who is our soft spot, who is got the warmest heart of any of us. And Lydia, I don't want to speak for you, but I loved your answer when we talked about it earlier this morning on the Blitz. You know, for even for you, you don't see Felix getting the ball Friday versus the Blue Jays.
It's because of being team before I, and the fact that in any of the times that Felix has struggled this year, listening to all that post-game audio, I have never once heard, I've heard him take responsibility, which is great, but I've never once heard him say, okay, this is my plan to make change. This is how I'm going to avoid it next time. And I think that's a big difference. I've heard when Pax or Marco has struggled, they usually have a plan or they have something that they're ready and intent to work on. And I just unfortunately have not heard that from Felix.
And Jeff and Botho, if you're still listening, I'll play off that and answer your question with Lydia's remarks, which are astute. How can you be confident when you don't have answers? How can you feel good about it? Marco last year, how could he pitch with confidence when he had no answers? He knew he went out there and you know, he just didn't have the arsenal to get it done. You know, Mike Leake has answers. He feels like he can manipulate the ball, manipulate batters. Obviously, the cockiest guy going right now is Wade LeBlanc, right?
Cocky Wade LeBlanc.
Cocky Wade can't
be
stopped.
Wade.
That's exactly right. And Paxton's got answers when he can throw 97 or 98. You know, the one guy right now in that rotation that I think, to Lydia's point, can't finish a day, can't look at the tape, can't look at the pitch count and go, geez, or selection and go, man, where's my answer?
It's so interesting. I imagine being Scott Service and, you know, driving into work today and hearing these calls on Felix Hernandez, if he is. I don't know that he is. And just thinking, you know, this has been a possibility for the entirety of Scott Service's time here. Felix has not been an ace pitcher for the entirety of Scott Service's tenure here in Seattle. And like a lot of managers, what's he going to do about it? I mean, you know, Felix has all of the cachet. He has all of the respect of the fans. His reputation is sterling. He was the one guy in a really dark period that everybody could glom onto. And for good reason, he was a star of stars, a Cy Young winner and perennial all-star here in Seattle during some down years. But if you ever wanted to make a change and you ever, I mean, he waited it and waited and waited and waited, and eventually Felix has now made this easy.
Yes.
Where 80 to 90% of people could just very simply say, yeah, of course. You can't possibly keep running him out there. It's become almost an easy decision for the manager. There's no criticism.
And yet he started, he was the opening game starter.
And he should have been, because that's how you do it. And baseball often will play this way. When not every single game matters over the course of an 162-game season, where you can afford to lose games, because everybody does, you can run Felix out there one or two more times than everybody, than you probably want to, because at the end of it, the point becomes easy.
Yes.
Now you can sell this to your fans.
Yes.
You can sell it to everyone in your organization. And most importantly,
to your clubhouse.
You can sell it in your clubhouse.
Yep.
You think there's one member of the other 24 guys in that clubhouse that's going to complain if Felix Hernandez doesn't make his next start? No chance. There's no chance. Not when this entire team is this close and pulling together and down the final stretch in the last couple of months to make a playoff that, that they haven't made in forever.
Yep.
There is no chance. There is no way one player walks into Scott Service's office afterwards and says, Scott, come on, man. It's Felix Hernandez. You got to give him another start. Quite frankly, and I don't have, it wouldn't surprise me if one of them has already done so and said, hey, Scott, come on. What are we doing? What are we doing here? You got to give us every shot to win. And if this guy's not pulling his weight, then we got to get somebody else in there who does. 206-421-3776. Let's see. How about Larry in Olympia? Line 5. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Lydia and friends. two comments. First of all, with all the junk that Felix can throw, I'm surprised he can't transform himself into Jamie Moyer. And two, I love the King's Court promotion, but they need to take those K signs away. It's embarrassing.
Thank you, Larry. Lydia, I'll speak for you on that.
Good morning to you, Larry. Yes. Thank you.
We have called for that. I think Jim Moore wrote an article about that. I think there's been many mentions of that, that, you know, there's she's just not that guy anymore.
No.
He's not that guy anymore. Okay. And I'll say, you know, and I'll feel confident in this, and I don't think I'll be proven wrong. This decision will be Scott Service's decision. It will be not be anybody else's.
Agreed.
There will be no fear of, well, what about the King's Court that there may have been a decade ago and or 5 years ago if this situation. Now, obviously, then he was dominant, so there was no reason to do it. But if that brass or that ownership or that group or some of those decision makers were there, I think maybe there would have been just a, hey, can we just run this thing out?
I got a couple of good calls here. Let me see if I can run through them. Very different sides of this. Let me start with Gary in Auburn on line 6. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, Gary.
Oh, I've turned down my radio. Anyway, I listen to you guys all the time. I'm a passionate M's fan. I grew up in the area. My comment was about Erasmo Ramirez. I don't know if anybody else was paying attention, but we dumped him to get rid of him, and then we got him back. I still never thought he was that good, even when we got him back. And I don't understand the Poto, Service, all these fans that think Erasmo is even a viable option to put him back into the rotation.
Can I give you one name, Gary?
I don't understand why everybody's so excited about
that. Hey, Gary, can I give you one name that, as you were speaking, came to my mind? How about Wade LeBlanc? Wade LeBlanc was dumped. Wade LeBlanc was out there. Wade LeBlanc was a nothing.
DFA'd.
He was DFA'd. I mean, he was out. To understand and say, I don't understand. Well, if a Wade LeBlanc can come in here and do some of that, and Erasmo actually last year in the second half of last year.
Why are we even talking? Look at his numbers.
Yeah.
His whip.
Erasmo is terrible. You got to be honest. I mean, if any fan is being honest or any general manager or manager is being honest, he is not a viable option. I do not see it.
Okay.
I don't see it at all.
Well, okay. I'll just go with whip, which I think is a pretty decent
love the passion, Gary. Love
different
the passion.
Explanation for what guys do. His whip over the last few years has been great. 1.13 in 2015. In 2016, 1.279. Went up a little bit. And then last year, 1.173. I mean, over the last 3 years, he's been a good pitcher. Not a great one. No one's looking at him to be the ace of this staff. But the idea of laughing at Erasmo
because
he was a rookie, I mean, geez.
Yeah. Do you want him pitching every fifth day in this playoff run?
Over Felix?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not close.
Do you want Erasmo pitching every fifth day in this playoff run over something that you can get and acquire in the next day in 4 hours?
If you could acquire something, I think you'd like more depth, and certainly Erasmo Ramirez, more because of the injury problems than anything else. I don't know how healthy he is. I don't know what he looks like so far this year. When he made his couple of starts early, he was not healthy and just got bombed. The question is, has he been able to work out this lat issue, and is he now the pitcher that he's been the last couple of years? The guy's been 2015, 17. Yeah, I'd take that guy down the stretch. He's a pretty productive pitcher who's going to give his team a decent chance to win. As a fifth starter, yeah, that's pretty much what you're looking for out of that. Let me grab Aaron in Denver, line 1. Good morning, Aaron.
I am encouraged about is the fact that we have Scott Service, who is on a new deal, right? So he's not a lame duck coach.
because this gives him the ability to really do the right thing.
Yeah.
Felix, as you've all mentioned, has a lot of equity in the town and his history and everything. And so, that along with the fact that we've had this nice lead in the wild card up till now has given them the ability to run him out there. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but the flip side of that is that it's allowed himself mm-hmm. to play himself out of the rotation.
Yep. Yep.
So you got a service on a long-term deal. You got Felix who's played himself out of the rotation. There's no argument from anyone, like you said, Mike, from the players to anyone who's closely watching this situation that would argue about him being removed from the lineup. So that's all I got, but great show, fellas.
Yeah, that's a great call, you know, and I think that is spot on. That ultimately, you know, just like these players we're watching, and we're watching right in front of us, Michael Dixon and John Ryan. John Ryan's the first one on the field. He's doing wind sprints, and he does. I mean, he looks like he's in great shape. He knows his $3 million salary is at risk. He wants to continue to play here. He loves it here. He loves his home here. He loves going to the Mariners games, sitting in the Diamond Club. Mm. And then there's this rookie fifth-rounder from Texas that's a phenom that just does things with this football that very few can do, that I've never seen on a football field do. And these guys are out here, and they're going to make the decision. They're going to make the decision for Schneider and staff. And I think, honestly, if John Ryan comes out and is phenomenal, I don't think there's egg on the face of anybody up there. They're like, okay, great. You know, hopefully we can keep Dixon on a practice squad and keep him around here and keep him in an organization.
Nope.
But if he comes out and Dixon is just lights out and he beats out John
Ryan.
I
totally disagree.
Well, equally, they say, okay, that competition played itself out. And for Felix, this season, we gave you ample opportunity to prove us or to prove to your teammates or to prove in this community you could still do it.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, you're proving right now you can't.
I'm not sure where that comparison works for me, because I just think Dixon, it's his job if he earns it. John Ryan is only there, and unfortunately for him, unless Dixon blows it. If Dixon can hold and Dixon wins the job, it's not a close. John Ryan, I don't think
you and I see it differently.
I don't think there's anything John Ryan can do.
Because $3 million isn't $30 million, and punters in this league are pretty important,
right?
You know, and he had a down year last year,
sure,
after a really good career. And if he comes out and he's lights out, I don't think they'll be like, "Oh, darn it, we really blew it."
So you think if both guys are lights out, that Ryan has a chance? I think as long as Dixon is decent, he wins the job. I don't think it's close.
Oh, okay, great. All right, awesome.
That's just how I feel.
Sure, no, I love how you feel.
All right,
it's often very different than how I feel.
Let's take some more calls. You can find out how Brock doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to punters.
Right.
All right. 206-421-3776. On Felix, not so much on John Ryan and Michael Dixon. More next, Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
I think this is what the Angels were doing in the dugout on Saturday. Jumping up and down to get a chance to get to hit early in that one. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN.
You know how hard I hit my head jumping to that song?
Why?
Have I ever told you this story?
When?
You ever been to the old Hewitt House down in P-Town?
No, never gotten that invite.
You never been down there either?
Never been invited, no.
Oh, they got the little Rambler, the one-story little Rambler. It's had the little low beam by the kitchen, and for some reason this song came on. And, of course, I was doing my thing like I just was, and I was jumping up and down. And I hit my head harder than I've ever hit in my life.
Wow.
Stars. Maybe my first concussion, top of my head. And then Luke was laughing, and then he and I got in a fight. So it was good stuff. That song brings back a lot of great memories.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I kind of hurt my head. Whacked my head yesterday breaking into my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Usually tackle helps you get in your house.
No, I had to break in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was
you forgot the key?
No. Not even sure what happened. So our bedroom is like the only room upstairs in our house.
Uh-huh.
And somehow the door to our bedroom was shut and locked. I don't think Heather and I even knew it locked.
Oh.
And we certainly don't have a key to it.
Okay. You didn't do the paperclip?
No.
All right.
Didn't pick the lock.
Okay.
And so instead, we got out the giant ladder.
Huh.
And I broke into the top floor of my house.
Wow, good for you.
What do you think of that move?
That's great.
I know. I was pretty impressed with myself. All right, we're talking Felix and kind of what they need to do and where they go from here. It's a mess. It's a challenge for Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto. Totally agree with the last caller that it helps that those guys have been empowered by their contract status. But what do you do? Are you going to DFA him and just move on from the money?
No, he's going to have a sore back. He's going to have a sore shoulder, or he's going to go down in the bullpen.
Are you going to put him in the bullpen and trust him in a leverage spot? If you're telling me every game matters, you know how important the bullpen is. Now, look, right now, you're sending Juan Nicasio out there, who's just been a disaster half the time, big home runs, et cetera. But, you know, are you going to trust Felix in a big spot?
Answer my question, Brock. Do you trust Felix?
I told you he's going to have a sore back or sore shoulder.
All right.
Yeah, I don't want to, in a playoff run, ask him to do something.
So you're
he's
not
going to
use him the rest of the year?
I don't think so. Shut him down for the year. Yeah, I don't think so.
You got to shut him down.
Possibly.
206-421-3776. Grab Alan. Line 6 in Seattle. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I think he's got a mental problem. It sounds like service has told him, you know, you're not Sandy Koufax anymore. You're more like Jamie Moyer. I would yank him from the rotation for sure, and I'd put him in the bullpen. Not in key situations, but there are a lot of other games where things are not great and say, we'll let you pitch an inning here and there, and you can work your way back into it.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, I guess all I would say to that,
it keeps his ego going, and maybe that'll help.
Yeah, I guess what I got to say to that is, in a playoff run of a little over 50 games, I think every player on that roster is going to be important. I think every game and every inning is going to be maximized in a way, Mike. And I love the conversation we had before the show. You know, some of the intensity of this moment, of maybe the baseball viewing in August and late July here is not what it was in April and May with fun and fireworks and thumbs up, that it's like getting real. You know, you're 19 games above 500. You're right there. You're only four back of Houston. Houston is without Altuve and Correa and just got swept by the Rangers in their building and come into your place, and you're not going to see Verlander. Once again, you're not going to see McCullers. Like, you know, we're in August here, and you're four games out of the American League West against a Houston team that's got some injury issues. So I don't know if just putting them in the bullpen,
yeah, I don't know if that's
having
enough.
Them in there. I hope we get to a spot where every position, every player, every pitch, and every inning matters.
Let me grab Ben, who's in Seattle on line 4, because I think he's got a different take on this. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
For Felix Hernandez, I was also thinking, remember what the Rays did where they put in a relief pitcher to throw that first or second inning?
Mm-hmm.
Since Felix's first inning is pretty much his worst inning of the year. Like, what if you give him, like, one more shot where you put maybe a lefty in to start the game and then see if he can maybe settle down after that and get through it?
But, Ben, you don't want to do this. But, Ben, you don't want to do this now.
Yeah, I don't, but it is Felix Hernandez, and he does bring a lot to the table for a fan-wise, and so, I would not, yeah.
It's got to come down to this question. Which is more important to you, Felix Hernandez or the Seattle Mariners' chances of winning, of making the playoffs?
Seattle Mariners.
So what do you do? Are you really willing to try this in August of a playoff run?
No, I guess can't do that. No, pretty much.
Called the segment where we work it all out together.
Right. I mean, I get what you're saying, and maybe it is legitimately. Maybe it's something you try in spring training next year. I don't think it's a bad idea, honestly. Yeah. Maybe you try it in spring training and you see if you toy with it a little bit, because I like what Tampa's doing. I think there's a lot of sense and a lot of logic behind it. I just don't know if I can try that right now in August. Not when I got a decent pitcher coming back in Erasmo. Not when the trade deadline could yield another starter here in the next day. Yeah, I don't think I could commit to something like that. Appreciate the phone call, Ben. 206-421-3776. How about Chuck in Kennewick? Hi, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, man.
As a diehard Mariners fan for as long as I can remember, Saturday's performance by Felix was probably one of the worst I've ever seen. And I think if I'm the Mariners organization and Jerry Dipoto, I find some way, somehow, to get in touch with Verlander and his agent and see what it would take to pay him, to have him talk to Felix to find out what he did to regain his stuff. Because it wasn't a few years ago when he was in Detroit.
Yeah.
He walked off the mound and was bawling in the tunnel on the way to the clubhouse because he was throwing 88 miles an hour. Fast forward to a couple of years now, he's back up in the high 90s. So I don't know the age difference or the years difference in the two between Verlander and Felix on service time, but if Verlander can regain it, why can't Felix? Because Felix has got the talent, and I just think he needs to find something. He needs to dig deep.
Yeah, that's a perplexing thing. Thank you, Chuck. And again, this is not like a 1 month or 2 month or 3 month deal. This has been a 3 year trend. And Verlander did hit the skids, and we talked about this for 3 years. We've talked about this in the off seasons. We've looked at these guys. We've looked at the other examples out there of, hey, who can Felix be? Who can he talk to? Who can? But ultimately, both the curse of baseball, the beauty of sport, and the pain of it is you go out there and perform, and your performance speaks.
Yeah.
Not what Verlander's going to say to you. Not what a radio host is going to blab on the air. Not even what your pitching coach or skipper are going to try to put together your routine and change everything up and do it. You got to go and perform. Mm. And when you can't do it and you just can't perform, and give me that cut one more time. For those of you who may not heard, we played it a few times today. This is Felix in a way that we've never heard him. In a decade plus, I think it's cut three there, Lydia, talking about just that he had nothing. His level of just professional embarrassment and pain out on that field.
I don't have a lot of stuff to say, so... You say it's the worst performance. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, if you would have made the playoffs, I have to do something better than this. So, that's all I got to say.
That pretty much puts a cap on it. Bunch of text messages, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Wait, hold on. Salk owns a ladder? I do. Thank you. Use it all the time. I was using it when I was getting rid of...
A step stool does not count as a ladder.
Howdy, you know darn well that I cleaned out my gutters this year like a boss. How dare you? Text, Salk's aware that safety locks are inside doors. You just puncture it with a paperclip.
Correct.
This has an actual key. This is not that kind of a lock. I know that like a bathroom lock, you can just
pop. Is when you turn the hand, like the little...
It's like an actual key.
As a key?
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's got a... Yes.
Oh.
I understand the difference between a bathroom
key to the bedroom.
Lock.
Oh, good move.
I don't know why. I didn't put it in there. It's been there since we moved in.
That's strong play.
I've
been looking to do that for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, do you know what the XWOBA is? Our buddy Luke Arkins. XWOBA. What's that? XWOBA?
XWOBA.
Yeah. Well, last year, James Paxton's was 263 starting pitchers. This is to make your asthma point, and Arkins Tech tweeted this to us. Paxton, Leake, Ramirez, 263, 279, 316 for Erasmo. League average, 332. Felix last year, 360.
Yeah.
And that number only up this year. So, yeah, Erasmo Ramirez is more than likely going to be the guy on Friday to get the ball versus Toronto if he comes through his rehabs and they don't make a move for anybody else in the next day in 3 hours.
All right, here's what we got. Answer the question, Jerk, coming up next. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Need more of your questions, whatever you got, from Felix to the Seahawks to camping. We got all kinds of things to talk about, plus whatever's on your mind. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Plus, we'll give you the scouting report as players start making their way out onto the practice field here at Seahawks training camp. So it's all still to come. That's how we finish up our show every day. It's Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
The question, Jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, Jerk!
All right, let's answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Players starting to come out now onto the field. Let me ask you a question, Brock. If you were on a roster bubble,
yes,
or let's say, you know, you certainly didn't have any guaranteed shot of making a roster, and you're an undrafted free agent, maybe you even barely have a shot to make an NFL roster.
All right.
Why would you let anybody beat you out onto the field?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Would you ever let anyone beat you out onto the field?
No.
Why would Bobby Wagner be out on the field before you? You'd be out there first, wouldn't you?
Right.
And I don't mean everybody. Yeah,
some of the guys have special teams meetings or they get pulled in. Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Wouldn't you just be out there first? Like, I don't care. I'm the first one out there.
Yep.
I have to be.
Yes.
I don't get that.
What's up, Tater? It's my favorite part of the day. It's too bad Kyle's not here. He's still on his European vacation.
Tater might come over here and talk some Felix with
Tater.
Us.
Yeah, what's up,
Tater?
All right, let's see what we got from you guys. Answer the question, Jerk. Did Wendell get to go camping? No.
No.
No, it was too hot. Too hot. I didn't trust it. And I was worried he'd get eaten by a wolf or something.
Isn't there shade and water? Like, in retrospect, he could have done it.
In retrospect, he could have, but we didn't know what was coming.
No, your first time out. Play it safe. Conservative.
Right. You got to...
Is there anything you would have done differently?
We did meet a Frenchie out there, which was great.
Like, knowing what you know now and having experienced it, is there anything you would have, like, the next
now
time you go out?
Now that you're a seasoned camper, that you have so much under your belt.
You're going to buy your own tent?
Now that I'm part of the camping community.
Are you going to buy your own tent?
I think we will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You'll do it again.
Now, we borrowed our friend's tent. It was an 8-person tent, which, as I said, is essentially a small apartment.
Yep.
It had room for two
queen mattresses.
Like,
it's as big as
our
canopy here, right?
Oh, I mean, bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Yep.
It had room for two queen mattresses, one on either side, and there was room for a third between it that we didn't use.
Okay.
I think that a 6-person tent would be about right.
The four man, you're right. That's not enough for a family of four. But a six looked like that would be.
But it wasn't
enough.
That hard to set up, right?
Oh, it was easy.
Yeah,
piece of cake.
So go eight.
All the things that were awful about camping when I was a kid are gone.
What is it about B. Marsh? B. Marshall and I got like
he
this
got a little
connection.
Thing. He likes you.
I don't know why.
I don't know. It's cool.
He might confuse me for like Josh McCown or
it's
something.
Very possible.
Remember Sean Vegas?
Yeah.
Next question.
Salk, how many mosquito bites you get this weekend? Not many. I'm telling you, man, camping in the Northwest, delightful compared to the Northeast.
Well, and with your hairs, we've said this before, right. They look at you and they're like, nope.
No, I got
I'm not going through that nest.
Yeah, I got some.
We all know that mosquitoes aren't big into biting bears either. So.
No, I am very attractive to mosquitoes. They get after me in general.
Well, the tough ones do. They're like, I'm going to fight through this sucker. I'm going to get through.
Like the 1% of mosquitoes, the elite fighters.
I'm going to get through this woolly mammoth and try to find a way.
What did you think of that bug I tweeted the picture?
What was that?
I don't know. What do you think it was?
I had no idea, but there were a lot of responses people gave you.
It was big. What did you think, Lydia? What was that thing?
I don't know. It's best not to know, I feel like, in those scenarios. Like, I don't want to know.
You should have heard there was some point where Cecily was alone in our tent just during the afternoon, and some sort of, I think, fly went in there. You should have heard the commotion from our tent.
You had 58 responses to that.
Gross.
Next question.
It's an Asian long-horned beetle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good.
It's called Time to Go Home.
Yeah. I sent that to my dad.
It's an invasive beetle that kills trees.
Oh, yeah?
All right, there you go.
What was it doing on my tent?
I don't know.
All right.
Next question.
How do you guys think Sherman's going to do in Santa Clara? I just saw a video of him getting torched in training camp, says a texter.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah?
I think he'll be just fine. Will he be the twitchy, dominant guy with all the makeup speed commanding the football? I don't know, but I don't think he'll be a liability. And to judge him on his first full practice back, I'm not going to do that.
Come. Still funny. Still
next
funny.
Next question.
Funny to see him get torched like that. Jerks, what current Mariner could you see taking over Blauer's job in the future?
Oh, interesting.
Ichiro?
Aren't a lot of analysts pitchers and catchers?
A lot of catchers, but not entirely.
Mikey really? Z?
I find that a lot of the analysts on not all of them, but a lot of them, kind of like a lot of football analysts or former quarterbacks or coaches, a lot of the analysts are pitchers or catchers. Just as they get to talk about, you know, the pitch and the ball and everything kind of through those guys' eyes, just like a lot of managers are catchers. Marco Gonzalez or Mike Zunino could call a baseball
Marco
game.
Marco Gonzalez would be great. Marco Ryan Healy Marco's would also be
good,
great.
Marco's a good answer to that.
Yeah, I'd go Marco. Marco.
That's probably the best answer on that one.
Thank you.
Got some personality to him.
Look at your guy, Puna.
I love Puna.
Oh, my gosh. Look, you're right.
Dude, short,
normally long arms.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh.
I like Puna. I'm rooting for that guy.
Next question.
He was a Big 12 defensive lineman of the year. You realize that?
Yeah, I do.
Undrafted.
Hey, Jerks, which is easier, taking apart a locked doorknob using your drill or breaking into your own home using an extension ladder? Totally random question, obviously. In this case, breaking into my house.
Asking for a friend.
Because the sliding door on the little balcony was already open. So all I had to do was just take the ladder up to the second floor. It's pretty simple, actually.
Yep.
So, yeah. Don't try to gotcha me.
You like, gotcha like climbing questions. Ladders? I'm not a big ladder climber guy.
I don't mind. I'm not afraid of that. Jumped right up there. Heather held the ladder just in case.
Shaquille and Adidas guy. Huh.
Jerks, don't you know Korsalk had a ladder? He has to stand on it next to Brock for promo photos. All right. You know, what have I done to deserve that?
Lots.
What? I didn't do anything to deserve that.
Whoa.
Next question.
Yes.
Yeah, they're delivering you some pizza
oh,
here.
Oh, my goodness.
Jerks, don't you think the Mariners should trade Felix for DeGrom? God. Yeah, that'll probably. You think the Mets would take Felix for DeGrom?
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
What else are the Mets going to give up?
Thank you, bro.
They want Felix.
They're going to give us Syndergaard
and DeGrom.
Yeah, perfect.
You get a Cy Young Award winner. You can't just get that for free.
They should throw in Michael
Zach
Conforto
Wheeler?
At the same time.
Yeah, let's get Wheeler.
Just give everybody who's good in their team. We'll give you Felix. I like it. Oh, man.
Next question.
I just negotiated a pizza deal.
That was big of you.
Holy smokes.
I didn't have to negotiate one. Somebody just dropped that off for me on Friday.
Wow.
Next question.
Look at all that pepperoni.
Jerks, can Iwakuma come back and take over for Felix?
Oh, that's a good question.
What happened to that guy? Where is he?
He what is the latest?
Way back. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
He had like a setback, I think.
He did?
Yeah. He's had like eight setbacks.
He was like ready to go not
that
long ago.
He did make like a rehab start, I thought. Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Hey, you know what's really fun today? I really like talking to Jaron Reed.
Yeah, you know what's really fun? I get to watch this for 2 hours and have like 100 takeaways for you tomorrow.
Good. I'm excited.
I can't wait for that.
Jaron Reed was fun.
He was fun, man. Yeah, this team's got some fun spunk. There's going to be a lot. I got the Danny David Moore interviews over the course of camp and
looking
into the season.
Looking forward to know these guys. And it's kind of fun. All right, we'll be back out here tomorrow morning once again. Then Wednesday down at Safeco to talk to Scott Servais. Mariners and Astros tonight, 7 o'clock start.
Shamar Stevens looks like he's 65.
Yeah, it's a big one, man.
Yeah.
Big game tonight. Big practice today. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. Till then, the hey.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Oh, man, seeing Coach Saban flying on the helicopter. Coming from nothing. That was a dream come true.
Get to the choppers!